from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Ask them if it has pop outs. Do you know what those are?
Yes, I'm a deer hunter.
Sorry.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
A lot of those last night at Oracle. A lot of them.
Deer hunters?
No, pop outs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, what's going on here? Great movie, by the way, The Deer Hunter.
Dude, that is one of the most depressing films I've ever seen.
Still good.
Well, it is. Yeah, Christopher Walken, De Niro. No, another one I did see, again, we're going to get to Jennifer Lee Chan in just a moment. The other one I watched last night, which is a very depressing film, is Fresh. You ever seen Fresh with Samuel L. Jackson?
No.
It's about a kid. Giancarlo Esposito plays one of the pimps. But
Fresh.
It's about this young kid named Fresh, and his father's an alcoholic chess master that kind of teaches him both through the game of chess, how to operate in the streets, how to operate with his relationships with his sister.
What is this on? Prime? Netflix?
I think it's on Netflix. Yeah, it's a really good movie, but it is extremely sad. And I was watching it the other night. I don't know.
Did you shed a thug tear, Evan?
Actually, it did. About 45 minutes in. If you watch, you'll learn why. But Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Got Jennifer Lee Chan coming up in just a moment here of NBC Sports Bay Area. Really looking forward to that conversation, talking about everything related to the 49ers, what's going on in training camp, what's going on with the contract situations. And we got Jennifer Lee Chan right now. Okay, let's bring her on then. Via the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area joining 95.7 The Game. Evan in for Steiny with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. Well, of course, you know, the things have been percolating with the beginning of training camp. Pads are on, bullets are flying. And I just kind of want to start with, you know, what you've taken away from the first few practices, whether it's the absences, you know, Brandon Ayuk's there, but he's not in pads, or Trent Williams not being there at all. Or has it been what's been going on in the field? Kind of what has caught your eye? What is swirling around down there in Santa Clara?
You know, well, with some of the guys taking days off, and, you know, with Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams out, it's kind of giving you look at it positively. You've got younger guys who are able to get some reps in and be able to show what they're able to do. You know, there's guys stepping in for Talano Hufanga, who we saw kind of watching practice yesterday, and for Dre Greenlaw, who, you know, has been kind of on the field, off the field, but generally probably not going to be seen at least until, you know, five games into the season.
Jennifer, let me ask you this. Always a pleasure, but I got to be careful when you look and read the stuff on the internet. You're around the team, and right now there's a little fire smoke about possibly Ayuk having a deal. Are you hearing anything like that?
I haven't heard anything. Now, you know, his body language is positive. So I walked past him coming off the practice field on Tuesday, and he walked past me. He's like, hey, what's up? And, you know, just, you know, your usual greeting. So, you know, he's outwardly not showing that there's any conflict going on. He was on the field yesterday, you know, talking with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and then he kind of took a seat on one of the equipment staff's golf carts, just hung out there and watched practice. Debo went up to him. They were kind of chatting and laughing, and he seems in good spirits. So I think that's what people are taking away from it, that maybe, you know, a deal is imminent. But, you know, there's definitely no bad feelings between Brandon Ayuk and the front office or between the coaching staff. Like, he, I think as much as he, you know, is wants to get paid, I think he also wants to stay with the 49ers. So I think, you know, he likes his role there. He likes being coached by Kyle Shanahan. You know, it's just whether they can get a deal done or not.
Jennifer Lee Chan joining us on 95.7 The Game, covers the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area. All guests appear on 95.7 The Game via the River Islands guest line. Speaking of, you know, other contract kind of questions, Trent Williams is probably and literally the biggest guy in the room, or not on the practice field right now. He is officially holding out, and the news came in today in Tampa Bay that Trenton Wirfs is receiving the largest contract ever for an offensive tackle, and he's certainly deserving of that. But right now that makes four tackles, if we were going into this season, that would be making more money this year than Trent Williams. Do you feel like, Jennifer, it really just comes down to dollars paid, or more specifically guaranteed dollars paid for Trent? And what have you heard on that front?
I honestly think that it's guaranteed money, because there is no guaranteed money left in his contract. So, you know, if something happens to him, you know, obviously he's had a really healthy career, not trying to jinx anything. Everybody knock on some wood right now. But, you know, like, there's no guaranteed money for him on the rest of his contract. And I think part of it was that when he first signed that deal, they weren't sure how long he was going to stay, whether, you know, how long he was going to play. And obviously he stayed healthy and he wants to play more. I think it was 2 years ago after the Super Bowl loss, he was like, you know, I don't know. I think he was really heartbroken about what had happened. So it seemed like he was contemplating retirement. But since then, that has not been the case. He's like, no, I want to come back. I want, you know, we want to go back there and win this thing. So I think his whole mentality has changed. And so I think he's looking for guaranteed money. I think that's the biggest part. But also, he is the best left tackle in the league and the most decorated. So honestly, I'm sure he feels like he should be paid as the top left tackle in the league. And I think there's a lot of people that would agree with him.
Jen, let me ask you about the defensive side of the ball. Steve Wilks, you know, public enemy number one last year. He's no longer here. And on top of that, his unit did a great job in the Super Bowl, I thought. In comes Nick Sorensen, and Staley will be eyes in the sky. No Greenlaw. What type of defense are the Niners going to be? And how does that dynamic work between first-year defensive coordinator Sorensen and Staley?
You know, I've seen them talking to each other on the field, and it seems like the relationship is really good. Staley is really hands-on, more hands-on than I thought I would, you know, see from a guy who wasn't technically defensive coordinator. He kind of goes to different position groups, but has been primarily seen with the defensive backs. I spoke to D'Amador Lenore yesterday, and he calls Brandon Staley a genius. He's helped him, you know, get better leverage on wide receivers that he's covering, just little technique things that D'Amador Lenore didn't necessarily have in his arsenal. And so for a guy to come in, work with a, you know, a player that's in their fourth year, to really give them tips to get their game to the next level, I think is pretty impressive. And D'Amador Lenore told me, you know, how he kind of mentally challenges him. And I think it's really good to have this kind of breath of fresh air, new perspective on the defensive side. But then also Nick Sorensen is not going to change it because it isn't broke. You know, you don't change it broke. So you've got a guy that's been there for a long time. So the heart of the defense, everything they're doing is going to be primarily what it was, you know, before Steve Wilks and, you know, well, I guess since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have been in the building. So there's no major changes. Sorensen comes from the same school of philosophy that, you know, from Pete Carroll to everybody that they've had in the building before then. So he's also the guy that led the ball meetings. So all that talk about, you know, Brock Purdy throwing 7 receptions over 2 days, it's also because the defense is really good. So they're keying in on what they're supposed to be. So those turnovers, you know, hopefully will still happen once the season kicks off.
Jennifer Lee Chan joining us on 95.7 The Game on the River Islands guest line. You know, talking about Purdy and some of the interceptions, I could also imagine some of it is trying to get on the same page with a few of his new weapons. And since Brandon Ayuk is not in pad, that's offered an opportunity now for the two rookies, Rookie Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, who are officially on the practice field. What have you seen specifically from those two guys? I think a lot of 49ers fans are excited about the wide receiver depth this year, whether it's, you know, because Ayuk is going to be back, or I don't know, some people might even think that he might not be back. But what have you seen from Pearsall and Cowing so far?
Well, Cowing has been sidelined with a hamstring. He should be back in about a week or so. Kyle Shanahan said about probably 10 days off total. But Pearsall has worked his way back. He missed the first week also with a hamstring that happened during the time off. So it was a non-football injury is what they call it, because it didn't happen with the 49ers. But he kind of worked in gradually during individual drills on Monday. Did, I don't know, a handful of 11-on-11 plays on Tuesday. And then yesterday was on, you know, in practice fully. And while he had, a pass was thrown behind him from Brock Purdy once, he didn't catch another that was tipped by George Odom. But the third one that was thrown to him, it was actually from Brandon Allen. D. Winters kind of came over the top and looked like he was going to have a pass breakup. It kind of glanced off of Ricky Pearsall's hands. And then his second effort to grab it and still get both feet down before going out of bounds was really impressive. I've heard he's running really clean routes. I've been watching him, but I think it's, you know, more important to hear from the DBs, and they're saying that he's really good at route running, really good, slippery, and I think he's going to be a really big asset for this 49ers offense.
Jen, let me ask you a question about Kyle Shanahan and the ball distribution to one Christian McCaffrey, because I don't have to tell you how great McCaffrey is, but there were junctures last year where the Niners were winning, you know, blowing teams out, and I expect that to be the case this year, and McCaffrey was still in the game, and he wasn't spelled by other backs. I know this is kind of putting you on the spot. Do you expect the same, or do you think, you know what, if we're in a blowout, we may, you know, give the ball to some other running backs to kind of savor C-Mac?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they need to do a better job at. And Kyle Shanahan admitted it. Like, he doesn't want Christian McCaffrey to have as many touches as he did last year. I think he had 272 carries, 1,400 yards. Yes, they need to take him out when the game is, you know, pretty much done and you know the outcome. But I think it's also Christian McCaffrey. He doesn't want to come off the field. He prepares to be out there for every single snap. And while, you know, sometimes it's they've got to protect players from themselves, I think that's the case with the Christian McCaffrey. He wants to be out there. He trains to be out there. And you look at him, he looks like he's put on some muscle weight. He looks very healthy. And, you know, it's funny because he's a guy that if you talk about injury at all to him, he gets a little irritated and just doesn't want to talk about it. You know, those 2 years in Carolina where he didn't play a whole lot because he was injured, I think that really still like is a chip on his shoulder. So his goal is to be out there every single play. And I think it's just hard for the coaching staff to like say, hey, dude, it's your turn to come off the field. Let the other guys get a little bit of the carries as well. So I think it kind of is twofold, but Kyle Shanahan did admit at the beginning of training camp that he does have to be better about kind of managing Christian McCaffrey.
Jennifer Lee Chan joining us on the River Islands guest line, covers the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area. You mentioned McCaffrey, and he was someone who was somewhat in a similar situation to Trent Williams, and they figured out his money pretty quickly, the guaranteed money. The reports with the 49ers is that, you know, Trent Williams might have been dissatisfied with this situation, you know, for a few months, and that the 49ers were aware of it. How come, Jennifer, you think that the 49ers were able to get the McCaffrey deal restructured quicker than they have with Trent Williams, which hasn't happened to this point?
Honestly, money. Running backs are the most underpaid asset on a football team. And for it to be $19 million a year for Christian McCaffrey to be the highest paid running back in the league, it's way less than $27 million for Brandon Ayuk or $27 to $28 million for Trent Williams. So just the money amount on its own makes it much easier to do a deal with a guy like Christian McCaffrey, because he's at the top of his at the market. Christian McCaffrey can't argue and say, I need $25 to $28 million, because 19 puts him at the top of running backs. Same with like Kyle Juszczyk did a restructure of his contract, didn't want to take less, but it was really important to him to be the top paid fullback in the league. And he still is, even though he took a pay cut. So I think that part is really important to guys. Brandon Ayuk, if he doesn't sign an extension, is going to make $14 million this year, which is, grossly underpaid for the top 10 wide receivers in the league. But it's also way more than he's made in the past 4 years combined. So, it's kind of all about perspective. $19 million for Christian McCaffrey, to you and me is incredibly, it's just funny money talk to us. But honestly, if talking about these numbers is just crazy. But it makes him the top paid running back. And I think the ranking for these guys is really important within their position.
Jen, Mustafa has looked well, but what about rookie Renardo Green? What can you tell us? What have you seen from him early on?
I think both of those guys have really made some big plays, and they're going to be called upon in the season. Renardo Green has had some great pass breakups. I think he's had an interception or two. He's been out there with the ones and the twos, so he's not a guy that they've, buried in the with the third string. Both of those two guys have been out there with the ones, and they've had their chances, and it looks like they have been doing pretty good. The defense is always ahead of the offense at this stage in the game. And with injuries to Talanoa Hufanga and, Dre Greenlaw, these younger guys are getting their chance and they're making the most of their opportunities.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all your coverage with the 49ers. We look forward to talking with you soon.
No problem. Let's do it again soon.
That's Jennifer Lee Chan joining us from NBC Sports Bay Area. Covers everything with the 49ers, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop?
Yeah, she's awesome. Ran into her when we went to Vegas. You, yep. Stoney and myself, right. O'Neill. What about this young secondary? I know Hufanga. I don't know what's going on with him and, his availability for week one, if he'll be out there. But they got some youngsters and some Lenore guys that are ball hawks. Do you look at when I say Niners secondary, Evan, what do you say?
What excites me about the 49ers secondary is it appears that they won't be as dependent on the defensive line play as they have in years past.
Man.
And it reminds me more of, say, like the 2019 secondary, which is, of course, led by Richard Sherman, some good safeties on the back end. Like it feels like more of that kind of group than the one of the past few years, which was, look, Charvarius Ward is a damn good corner.
Yeah.
But D'Amador Lemore a couple of years ago was maybe not so great, but he's emerged as a serviceable number two corner. The slot spot, might be someone that we haven't seen yet go in and grab that. And I also think with the way that the slot corner position was used by Steve Wilks, it left you a little bit vulnerable. They wanted someone who was more of a thumper, who was a little bit bigger and less of a speed guy, less of a cover corner at that position. So that might change under Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley. I just feel
like your boy Staley was hands on, Evan.
Yeah,
he's gonna have a big
Lenore also called him a genius.
I heard that, Evan. That's a sore spot for my man.
Yeah, it is. Well, the thing about Staley is he's always been highly renowned. Like everybody respects Brandon Staley in his mind. And it's the reason why he was able to rise so quickly in the NFL ranks. Like his emergence as a head coaching candidate a few years ago at the Chargers was kind of mercurial, because he had been, I think, a Division III head coach or a lower level college coach 5 years prior or something like that. He'd only spend a couple of years as a linebacking coach in Chicago, and then 1 year as a DC before getting the head coaching gig. But he was always able to win a room from what everyone said. And I think that both when we've already heard him speak, but when we continue to hear him talk over the course of this season, he'll speak less than Sorensen because he's not in the forefront.
Gotcha.
But when you hear him talk, you will be enlightened.
And it sounds like Lenore saying that, basically calling him like, man, whatever he's telling him, technique or whatnot, like, that's hitting home. And I'm looking at youngsters, Renardo Green from Florida State and Mustafa. I mean, those guys have played big time college football. And Evan, I don't have to tell you, if you play big time college football, you're going to be a stud in the pros. It doesn't work that way. But at the cornerback position, the reason I bring that up is he's seen studs and Mustafa. on the other side of the ball. You know what I'm saying? When you're playing in conferences like that. So we'll see if, you know, like you said, they don't have to be so dependent on the D-line. I think about the Detroit game and what was going on, how they were getting hit in the slot. They were getting hit everywhere, just that line. They won the game, but moving forward, how Sorensen, and that was Wilkes, no longer here, what this defense is going to look like. And I got to say this about Saleh and D'Amico Ryans. It felt like everything was working and was fine-tuned for those guys when they took over. It is interesting to see how Sorensen, and I won't say a bad hand, Evan, but the fact that you don't have Greenlaw's services to start the season, maybe he does come back. Like, I'm curious to see how this team collectively makes that up, because that's a, we talk about Warner, but Greenlaw's right next to him, man.
He is. The one that would be the flip side of the takeaway from the secondary. Like, I think the Niners on paper right now look like a much more balanced defense at their three levels. But that's, I think, also because the defensive line in terms of talent, to me, has taken a little bit of a step back. You know, you still have Hargrave.
Need more from him.
You still have Bosa, obviously.
More from him.
But Malik Collins is replacing, you know, Eric Armstead. How's that going to look? Yeah. You know, they went out and got Leonard Floyd in free agency. That appears to be, you know, a pretty good signing, but he's also someone that is on the wrong side of 30. Mm. He's played virtually every game the last like 6 years, so he's been on the field. He's coming off a 10.5 sack season with Buffalo, but will he give Bosa enough of a second rushing, pass rushing specific option? I also wonder how this defensive line group looks against the run, because the issue is not always could they get to the quarterback. And you brought up Detroit. It wasn't just that they were getting gashed in the secondary. It was they couldn't stop anything.
Man.
They couldn't stop a leak in the roof on the ground. I mean, they had like, Detroit had over 150 yards rushing in the first half of that game.
And you're going to call me crazy. Last year at Arizona, they gave up 200. They won the game, but gave up 232 yards on the ground to a, you know, offense that wasn't, you know, in its prime at all last year in the Cardinals. But we just kind of said nothing to see here a little bit. But those tendencies and whatever was going on with that run defense, Evan, kind of followed them. But it's funny, I'm saying all that to say on the most important day, Super Bowl Sunday, I thought the Niner defense played their ass off. And, you know, they didn't get it done. I didn't even think they could play that well. And we'll see how they come out this year under first time coach Nick Sorensen. Defensive coordinator.
Well, that was the first defense in, I think, 5 years or 4 years that hadn't been a top five group in terms of total yards. And a lot of that was because of the amount of yards that they gave up on the ground. You know, they had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They had, well, including the playoffs, 10 games last season where they gave up over 100 yards rushing. That's not
Niner-like.
Exactly. That's not what we know to the Niners to be. That's not why they invest so much capital and draft capital in their defensive line. They want to be dominant against the pass and the run. So while I'm very happy that the secondary looks like it's improved,
the trenches,
they got a ton of talent, and they'll need it too also, because remember, Ward is in a contract year. I also think D'Amador Lenore could walk at the end of next season. So they need to replenish the defensive secondary, and they have, especially via the draft. So this year they got depth. I don't know how it'll be moving forward, but where I guess I would be more concerned than I have generally is we walk into a season, we just assume the D-line is going to be set,
right.
It's going to be stout,
check.
It's going to be top three in the league. I guess I'm not as certain about that as I've been in years past.
No, I hear you, and how about I lay this on you? I honestly believe from afar, Evan, during this Niner run, the NFC West was down. I think this is going to be one of the most improved divisions in football outside of the Niners, starting with the Rams. I think they got their stuff together. Kyler Murray's got some weaponry, and Seattle's on the come. So yeah, I don't think those six games are going to be as easy as they have been the last couple of years for the San Francisco 49ers.
I wouldn't be worried about Seattle, but the Rams would kind of scare me a bit because they're a very young team. That also means they could be a bit questionable. You know, which way are they going to go? Are they all going to go up? Are they going to take a lateral move? Are they going to return back to earth? Because no one really knew much about
their protection
for
roster
Stafford last year.
Yeah, who's won a Super Bowl in L.A.? I'm just saying.
No, and he's beaten the Niners in the playoffs. So, yeah, I would be more worried about
weapon.
The Rams.
Yeah, Murray's got a new weapon on the outside.
Well,
you gotta be a fan, dude. He looked better at the end of the season.
No, Marvin Harrison's a beast.
Yes. But with this dude, I'm like, oh boy, Connor?
James?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that.
Put that in the cap. NFC West, most improved division. Well, I got K at my back.
I got to think about that, actually, for a sec.
And you kind of down on Seattle. I thought they had a good draft. You got to go out and prove it. But they're not mincemeat.
No, I just don't think that their defense is good enough to make up for with what they lack on offense, is generally not having a great offensive line. I don't think Geno Smith is a great quarterback, though he's got some damn good playmakers. As far as the rest of the league, though, yeah, I'm not too sure. I'll have to think about that one through the break. The other thing that JLC brought up during our interview, and you can go check that out and rewind on the Odyssey app, is it is just about money with Trent Williams. Yeah. It's about guaranteed money, but also the difference between McCaffrey and Williams. So that's a significant gap, right? You know, you're just handing out $19 million, which is also a lot of money.
Man.
You're just handing out $19 million to McCaffrey. You're not just going to hand out 27 and 28 to both Ayuk and Trent. I understand Ayuk. That's a little more difficult because he's not the top of his class. But if you do believe that Trent Williams is the best left tackle in the league, and I do, well, then the benchmark is set. And we should actually hear a deal about restructuring his contract in the near future.
Evan, I thought before I saw you come back from vacation, I thought it would be done over the weekend. We were out there last week, last Wednesday. So I'm with you in regard to Trent Williams. What has taken so long? He is everything to your quarterback, to your running back, to that offense. I don't understand the holdup. And again, I don't get paid to make these decisions, but Evan, you are right. You talk about leverage. I mean, I used this last week, so it's a recycle. He's got a beverage of leverage. I feel like Trent Williams.
I like that.
But what's taken so long?
Well, what's taken so long could have been worse. Yeah, I mean, and then, of course, on the Ayuk front, it was Colin Cowherd that just put in, not even a report, but just like a little nugget, a little tweet saying that a deal with Ayuk is essentially, you know, imminent, that they're close to a new deal, that you should be on the lookout for a new deal with the 49ers. Is that going to happen today?
I want to see those numbers if in fact, you know, there's a new deal.
Well, again, August 1st is a significant date. It's the same day that Deebo Samuel signed a three-year contract extension. I wonder if people, maybe we can dig into this on the side. Would it be a three-year deal? Would it be a four-year deal? What does the number look like? Is it something similar to DJ Moore? Is he actually going to get what he wants, which was an Amon-Ra St. Brown deal?
And that guaranteed money.
Either way, the takeaway from today so far for me is that it looks like the Niners are going to be whole. The Niners are going to run back their offense from last season.
And rightfully so.
Just the question is when? When are they going to get that done? So thanks to Jennifer Lee Chan for jumping on with us in just a moment. We're going to step away, get back on the other side here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. And what's coming up with the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
It's all Guru all the time.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know, there's something about being number one. And you know, like, everybody wants it. I don't know, maybe it's a like uniquely American thing.
Warren Moon.
I think Deebo Samuel.
Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. People always want to be number one.
Yeah.
Top dog.
That's why you get out of bed.
Ken just got in my ear and said, Tua, we're not going to have that. He's number one in nothing.
Number one in your heart.
They're going to regret that, man.
I don't know
if
they will.
He is not it, man.
I think there's a lot of teams that might regret paying
quarterbacks. I'm taking Purdy over Tua in any my God, in a Texas second.
Oh, every day of the week and however many times he throws it on Sunday.
A few minutes ago, you asked me about Fresh, and I told you I hadn't seen it.
You have seen it, though.
But I have not, and I'm getting near it. Don't tell me what I've seen. I'm 50 years old. I know what I've seen. I have not seen Fresh. People tell you seen it. It
came out in 1994.
It don't matter. I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it.
It's got Sam Hill. I think you would like it. I think it's
no, yeah. It sounds like a great flick.
Yeah, it's a good film. It's also
I
very
started
sad.
The Pete Rose doc that Bonte told me to start. Oh, my God.
What have you learned so far?
I'm going to save it until I'm finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, How many parts are there? It's not one.
Six episodes. I just completed episode one last night.
Wow.
And I'm a Pete fan.
Dude, there are too many parts in documentaries now. It's like reading a book at this point.
But you want the whole thing. The whole thing.
Well, yeah, but why can't you condense? You know, just give me more of the cliff notes.
Wow. You sound like a young punk right now.
Like Yogi Bear.
But if it was Evan Giddings, the movie, this could be 4 hours if you're producing it. But if it's anybody else, an hour and 30 minutes will be sufficient.
No, I don't go watch movies in theaters that are longer than 3 hours. I can't do it. Like, okay, so Napoleon, you know, with Joaquin Phoenix, who's supposedly a good film. But Lincoln was the last biopic I think someone told me to go see had to watch. Yeah, it's 3.5 hours.
That's a long time.
I don't care who's playing Lincoln. I think it was Daniel Day-Lewis. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't sit through 3.5 hours. I'll watch it in pieces.
Evan, I went to Nobody Cares. We'll get back to the
Niners. I'm working my way through Oppenheimer right now.
Deadpool. Oh, I gave you that one.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Deadpool and Wolverine.
It's incredible.
Well, it's not. The humor's a little twisted. I'm thinking about
it. You didn't like it?
Like, it was a great movie. The recliners had a margarita to the theater. But, Evan, the humor's a little too much. Come on. What are we doing? Andrew Dice Clay in that universe. Who's Deadpool? Andrew Dice Clay. You can't. The jokes were a bit too much for me.
I thought it was really
funny.
What
are we? The kids are watching this.
They should not be watching that movie. That is on you as a parent.
But
if you take your kid to go see Deadpool and Wolverine, I'm not going to say you're a bad parent. I don't want to judge
14,
like that.
I go, that, you might not, man. We might have to get you out of here.
No chance.
Call child services. Dude, this, I didn't appreciate the humor, Evan. There was too much twisted humor, if you know what I mean.
No, we do have news to get to in just a moment, yeah. But before we do, so when I was in Sweden, the movie came out a little bit before. You know, it's in Europe. Shout out the Europes, the Europeans. And my sister was wondering if she could take her kid. No chance.
They'll be ruined.
He's 10 years old. There is no way in hell he should be seeing Deadpool.
But I wasn't expecting that type of humor. I was like, whoa.
Did you see the first or the second one?
No, I didn't.
That's on you. No, yeah. That is Ryan Reynolds. That is Deadpool. He's a sick human being. He's not a superhero.
Wow, man.
Although he wears tight pants.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
We got news.
Well, yeah. USA's back on top in gymnastics. You see what Simone Biles did?
Won the gold?
She took home the gold.
There you go.
The individual all-around competition. So it was her pretty much and Suni Lee were the two top dogs. But Simone Biles is officially the first ever to be the only American gymnast, I should say, to win gold in the all-around final more than one time.
So she eclipsed the great Mary Lou Retton.
And she was also rocking a little chain.
Did you?
Had a goat on
it. Have you studied the gymnasts and what they do and how strong they have to be and the speeds that they're running to do what they... Evan, forget catching a ball, throwing it at you. It is incredible, man.
And it's just them out there.
It's just them.
There's nobody else.
Man.
It's why it's very hard to do. Now, I mean, I've really only learned about some like the Russian doping scandal stuff, yeah, which is involved in their gymnasts. But no, it's incredibly hard. It is mentally taxing. It's... maybe not as hard as, you know, trying to get your body back like a football player, but
the shape it has to be in to do what it that it's just amazing.
That's well, and for all. Like for Biles, so that's, you know, just kind of to use a Super Bowl parallel. Like she won the gold. She has won the gold in that competition. She also won other medals too. But in that competition, it's like you're Mahomes. You're on top. Okay, so how hard would it be? Because it's not as if you got to come back next season and then you get the year after that. You only get maybe one or two cracks at it in your life.
Man.
And she's capitalized on both of them.
Yeah.
Every 4 years.
Give her credit for doing the LeBron thing, however much he spends on his body, to stay in that tip-top shape, to not let anybody come surpass you, and you remain dominant. I'm watching her run like, this is crazy, and hit that. Man.
And we've used the word window a lot to describe championships, right? Okay, there's only a small window for, especially for a lot of gymnasts. Like your body just doesn't, the gymnasts that perform at the level that they do don't typically stick around for that long. They're done by the age of 30.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. And we saw Michael Phelps do what he did. He definitely maximized his window, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Katie Ledecky she
great call.
Won the 1500 meter by 10 seconds.
Think about that.
By 10 seconds.
You cannot work out a month. You know what I mean?
It's like 15 minutes and 20 seconds. She basically lapped the entire pool.
Clowning.
And that's her eighth gold medal, tying the all-time record for female swimmers. But again, it's all about being number one. And that's where the San Francisco Niners are trying to get to, a place they have been number two more often than not. And they're trying to become number one. And it feels like, I don't know what you make of this, but okay, so they haven't won the Super Bowl, but they have a ton of players that are paid or will be paid like they're number one. And that was a theme of the interview with Jennifer Lee Chan in the previous segment, was Christian McCaffrey's number one, so he should be paid like he's number one. Trent Williams is the number one left tackle. He should be paid like he's number one. Nick Bosa's number one. I think when he got signed to his deal, Fred Warner was the top paid linebacker. Kyle Juszczyk remains the top paid fullback. Brock Purdy is going to get paid like the number one quarterback, I think, next summer. How can you keep doing that? How can you just keep making yourself number one when they're not?
Right. And there's the next date, I believe, that comes with that, because as you keep kicking the can down the road in that quest for that chip, Evan, you understand the way and the game is set up. The monopoly aspect of the NFL is, you're as great as you are, you're going to lose pieces because of the MONEY. And if I were to ask you right now, are the Niners getting better or are they getting worse? I know Niner fans don't want to hear this, but I got to believe, Evan, the window is closing. They're still the best team in the National Football Conference. That's why they represented the NFC in the Super Bowl. But it's not going to stay open forever. Now, am I telling you Brock Purdy's going to retire in 3 years? Is his timeline the same as Trent Williams? No. But right now, they're tied together. And the most important position outside of the quarterback or the quarterback's best friend is the left tackle. And I don't know what's going on and taking so damn long for Trent Williams to come back. But Evan, each year is its own entity. And that's why I love hearing Kyle talk about it should be three. He's all in. Kittle's all in. You might have been out. Fred Warner joined about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Willard and Dibbs, and they asked him about the Super Bowl or bust, and he didn't run away from it, and he was saying, you know, we've had some good times, but it is that in regard to capping off and being one of the best revered teams in 49er history. That's how dominant this roster has been. You talk about Kyle and his brilliance, Evan, not just from the offensive standpoint, just coaching. They have built something. So I just get frustrated when they squander opportunities in the big game. Because, again, nobody cares. But to me, the guru computer, the Niners, get this, Evan, could easily have two Super Bowls. And if Kyle didn't win another or sniff another NFC championship game, he would be at the table with Parcells, the Hoodie, all the Gibbs, Tom Landry, because you got it done with something you built. And right now that eludes them. And we did a show last Tuesday. We were having fun of Bonte and Shasky, and they were having fun with themselves about the first day of camp when they saw Trey Lance play. And, you know, it went viral. They went viral with the excitement. And we kept playing it. And we had fun, Evan, with our bad takes or takes we missed on and hit on, mostly missed. And
oh, I heard that show.
Okay. Also, you know what it was about.
I had a few in the chamber.
If Steiny said, he put this one out there, not Dallas in five, but he doesn't think Kyle would get one in a Niner uniform. And think about that. This dude is a baby in regard to, you know, his age and coaching. He should have too early. I've gotten past that. He doesn't. But just think about how many more cracks, realistically, Evan, is he going to get as a Niner head coach? Not just from the financial standpoint, to keep this roster intact.
Well, the core has been pretty much unchanged for the Niners.
Man.
Even going back to 2019, I mean, you still have a lot of the same players on that side of the ball. You also have a lot of the same defensive players. And it's because in 2019, compared to this roster, they were relatively young. You know, Debo Samuel was a rookie.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa was a rookie.
Now he's paid.
Yes, Debo. He is. He didn't have Trent Williams for that Super Bowl, by the way. Although you were still a very good team. So, you know, Fred Warner was there, obviously. I mean, look, their core is intact. Yes. I find it fascinating, though, that a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, now they pay their top players, but as far as
Well, Tyreek Hill didn't get it.
Wait, exactly, though. That's my point. So they have not paid, like, the amount of players that are the highest paid at their position. I haven't done the, I mean, I haven't looked at everyone.
But I think I know where you're going.
I think the Niners have the most highest paid players at their position.
Damn.
More than the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs are the team that has three Super Bowls. Now, the Chiefs obviously have, you know.
And been to four.
The quarterback.
Yeah, they've been to four.
They have.
Damn.
I just find it interesting how the team that has been successful and is dynastic, really, is a team that's also comfortable with recycling, changing, and moving parts more frequently than a team that has not been at the mountaintop.
I'm going to channel my inner Steiny.
That's not even just about the 49ers, too. Like, other teams have remained pat, have kept their core together, but none have done it like the Niners.
But, no, hey, you are right, and I can't take anything away, but does that really all boil down to the Chiefs got three Super Bowls because of the quarterback? As much as credit as I give Kyle for taking, I said it earlier, Jimmy and Brock Purdy, but the fact that the Chiefs have three, does all that boil down to, yeah, you got the most top players at the positions, Niners, but we got the one. We got that guy, and his name is Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I think they also have the best tight end in the league.
Help me out now. If
Chris Jones might be the best defensive tackle now.
He's
that
up there, no doubt.
Well, now that Donald's not in the league anymore. So, you know, they've chose to keep that kind of top trio together, and they've paid them handsomely to do that. But they even played hardball with Chris Jones last year.
You're right. I don't even think he was out there for week one, right? Remember, he was.
Yeah, exactly.
He was watching the game.
Yeah, he was out. So, you know, the Chiefs have taken a different approach than the 49ers. Both have gotten them to their places. I just find it interesting. You know, the Niners have all these number one guys. And again, you know, the top 100 list is not set yet, but the Niners have right now seven dudes in the first,
man,
you know, 90 spots. The 1 through 10 has still yet to be revealed, I believe, but Fred Warner was ranked number 11. He was at the time the highest paid linebacker. Number 14, George Kittle, was at the time the highest paid tight end. I think he's number 2.
97 on Madden. I told you guys 99. He was a 97.
Nick Bosa.
Gosh, Madden. I'm retired.
Madden doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, which
I was talking with Bonte and Lucas about this in the hall the other day. It just doesn't do it for me anymore. Nick Bosa is number 27. Brock Purdy is number 28 overall in the top 100. Deebo Samuel, number 30. Brandon Ayuk, number 66. And Dre Greenlaw, number 76. So again, they have a lot of talent. And a lot of those guys are the highest paid at their, their position. You know, Trent Williams, if he's in the top 10, that wouldn't surprise me. And I think he wants to get paid like he's the number one guy.
And I don't know what's taking so long, E. I really don't. Obviously money, but I just, like Mike Silver, that was, I mean, powerful, but that was like legit. How the hell have you known this and you still are here now? And right now, the Niner camp and everything around it, Evan, has not been about the youngsters and guys making gross, you know, or the next step. It's been all about money. And I don't know, you know, if you can sit there and tell me, Goo, just relax. It's not about continuity. You talked about Jones last year. They went on for the Chiefs. They went on to win the Super Bowl. And we saw what happened with Bosa. But I am kind of shocked that John Lynch always, he just comes across to me as we got our house in order. And when Trent Williams, a guy that you need, you don't want to play around. I don't know how he doesn't have all the leverage in the world. So I am kind of perplexed as to, yeah, Ayuk I get, but Trent Williams, your left tackle, all pro last couple of seasons. What is really going on, E?
Well, and this is what we're talking about. This is from Mike Silver's latest column in the SF Chronicle. The issue isn't that Williams wants more money. That's a no-brainer. The real question is why the Niners, who according to Coach Kyle Shanahan, have known about Williams' dissatisfaction for months, didn't handle the situation quickly and quietly during the spring. I'll just throw that to the fan base at 888-957-9570. You know, why haven't the Niners, if they knew about his dissatisfaction and that money was always going to be the issue, guaranteed money, the amount of money, the respect attached to that money, if they always knew it was going to be an issue, how come it was so much easier to just give it to McCaffrey?
And it went quiet, and what did you say, quiet and whatever verbiage you used.
Quickly and quietly.
That's how it happened with McCaffrey. Why not with Trent?
And McCaffrey wasn't there, but people said it was because he was just getting married. I also think that money might have had something to do with it during voluntary workouts, why he wasn't there. Now, he didn't have to be, but his absence was noted, and Williams' absence hasn't been noted up until now. And I think it, again, has got to do with the green. Austin's in San Jose. Again, 888-957-9570 is the number. Austin, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, fellas. I'm going to throw something. I'm only kidding. I'm going to throw this out there, though.
Okay.
Remember, I said I'm kidding.
All right.
It's a racial. Hey, it's race, man. That's why the brothers are waiting for their money, man. That's all I got. That's what I'm going to say. I'm just kidding.
I don't know. You can
be Andy Reid. Evan, don't take it seriously. I'm just kidding, man. But listen, Andy Reid's a better coach than Kyle Shanahan. You forgot to mention that. It's not just the quarterback. The fact that he can play with less talent and reset every year, I think it's around. He's a coach. He's a hell of a coach.
Now,
I mean, remember Bill Walsh? All these guys could win with Bill Walsh made a bad example, but my guy, Joe Gibbs won with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He got three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, and that's why he's a great coach, all time coach.
Now,
so it comes down to that. And then the other thing, go ahead. I'm sorry. You got to say something.
I love you so much, Austin. I interrupt you too much like I do Evan and Steiny. My whole point is it's about timing. Austin, years ago, before Reed went to Kansas City, I don't think you can make that phone call about and say it so, you know, with your chest out about Reed being better than Kyle, because he was Kyle, and it was actually worse in Philly going to multiple championship games and a Super Bowl not winning.
But give him credit for being there. The guy had a hell of a resume in Philly.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't like he was a bum in Philly, but I'm saying Kyle still got a ways to go. He still got a ways to go to kind of equal that. And listen, Mahomes is great, man, but he didn't win it by himself. I mean, Kansas City defense played pretty good too, guys. Remember that? I mean, that team is built well. So I think coaching, hey, Kyle's a great coach, but, you know, until he can beat a guy like Andy Reid, we got to give Andy Reid his flowers. And then, hey, one thing that, Evan, you keep bugging me with this Purdy thing. I know Purdy's had a couple good 2 years. But let's not try to elevate him to the top yet. Let's see what he does this year. And you keep saying he beat Brady, he beat this guy in one game. That doesn't mean he's on their level because he won one game against them. That doesn't put him there. You got to do it over many years, not just one contest. These guys are still the test of time, man. Give these guys some credit for what they've accomplished. I mean, Purdy's had a couple good years, but he's not on that level yet, man. And the final thing, there is no way, I'm on record, Guru.
Okay.
There is no way the Niners are paying Purdy $65 billion. There is no way he's getting that. Here's where I think he's going to be. Remember I said it.
All right.
35.
Put it in the cap.
35
okay.
and 40.
Oh, Austin, hey, that's a bet. We're going to bet lunch that he gets more than 35 and 40. I'm not saying he's worth more than that, but he's going to get that. Yeah.
That's what he's going to get, and he's going to take it. Believe me,
35 and 40, Austin. Wow. The Black Steiny from San Jose. There's no way he's getting 35 or 40. Now, the race
thing. I hope he's right.
And you know I'm Malcolm X when I need to be.
Yeah, I know.
So he said he was playing with the Trent because Debo got paid. Warner got paid. So I don't think there's any race.
Bosa also got paid.
Yeah, NAACP ain't showing up for this
one. Last I checked, the melanin clears.
Right. But I think he... He mistook what
he's
I
joking.
Said.
Yeah.
All I said was the facts. Purdy's beaten Goff. He's beaten Dak. He's beaten Love. So I just wanted to ask Austin, are you just flummoxed at the fact that Jordan Love, who hasn't done half of what in the playoffs Brock Purdy's done, Evan, that he's getting his money? Like that's, and I know we're in the Bay, but that's what should set you off to where it's not. I feel like he was acting like you're selling me or the listeners on how good Brock Purdy is.
No, I mean, but.
And you're not.
Well,
we're
I mean,
talking about what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's the greatest thing to walk God's green earth.
Yeah.
But I hear what Austin's saying. It's like, yes, just because you beat someone head to head, you also have to take into account, you know, where the teams are at. My point was that he beat Brady at a time in which apparently Kyle Shanahan decided after the season that Tom Brady was the only quarterback that could come in and replace Purdy. my thing was I don't believe that if Tom Brady had been quarterbacking the 49ers last year that they would have won the Super Bowl. I don't know if they might have been in the same game. I just feel like the Chiefs were better. Like they beat them. I don't think that Purdy was the difference or would have made the difference. So, I mean, that's my opinion. Obviously, we'll never know. It's a hypothetical. But as far as the contract is concerned, for the Niners' sake, I hope Purdy was willing to take 35-40. I can't see it.
I'm totally with you.
Not only, I don't think Brock Purdy is just going to be a $60 million quarterback. I think he's going to be the first $300 million quarterback.
So give me this, Tom.
I guess Mahomes technically, but.
So is he going to look at it? And I kind of ran this by Stani. Is he going to say, oh, I'm Mr. Irrelevant. I'm so happy to be in the league. I'll take 35-40. Hell nah. He's got people. He's got a camp. And it's what the going rate is. And it's like you putting your house on the market, Evan. If you got neighbors that sold your house for $1 million, you're not going to say, we'll sell it for $550. No, you're not. You're going to do that or more.
No, I mean, look.
That's a bet. I think he didn't say yes, but he said yes.
Yeah, no, yeah. Look, we could definitely revisit that. I mean, Mahomes is right now the only quarterback that received a contract that is more than $300 million. He got what? It was like a 10-year, $450 million deal or something. I mean, there's different machinations and outs, but the point is, I think Brock Purdy is going to be the second quarterback to break the $300 million threshold. Mahomes is the only one that's done it so far in a single deal. I do think Purdy's going to do that next offseason. And that's, like, I could be wrong. I don't know what he could do if he's healthy. I don't know what he could do to make that not a reality because he hasn't done anything so far, especially if they figure out the Ayuk situation. Yeah. It looks like, you know, according to Colin Cowherd, deal is imminent. Whether that happens or not today, tomorrow, whenever, I do think that Ayuk's going to be on the team. I think that they're going to find a way to restructure Trent Williams' contract. He's going to be on the team.
All right.
So essentially, you're running back the same offense next year. The only difference is that Brock Purdy, I think, will be a year better because he's got a year more of experience. It'll be his second full season as starter.
Yeah.
I don't see him taking such a significant step backward production-wise to the point where the Niners wouldn't be willing to give him that money.
Now, again, I'm totally with you, but what about Kyle saying, I can turn Evan and Guru into quarterbacks I could win with, so I'm not going to invest and have half the cap going to this one player when I know I could go out and find something else. I think that's stupid. I think that's risky. But, Evan, it's not about Brock. It's about management and his head coach. Do you think Kyle is that, what word am I looking for, arrogant to where he's like, dude, I know the market says pay Evan 60. I just can't. And I could go get something equal for way lesser.
For way less. I mean, well, I don't know about way less. And the thing about replacing Purdy, that is just a dangerous game. And I'll also tell you why on the other side. Because right now, I want to tell you about our Hoop It Up 3-on-3 basketball tournament returning to Thrive City for its second year. Sunday, August 11th, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., 95.7, the game is putting a team together for the tournament. And we're paying for registration for three listener teams. That contest will be at Friday, tomorrow, high noon, 12 o'clock, Be There, Be Square on Signing Guru. The Hoop It Up tournament is established and owned by Kevin Garnett and includes recreational.
Evan Jennings, the movie. This could be 4 hours if you're producing.
What? You're right there? Sorry about that. By the way, Kevin Garnett, where was I? Kevin Garnett. Recreational divisions from ages 8 to 18 plus, as well as adult divisions at all levels. Each team is allowed a max of 5 players with 3 players on the court, 2 subs. For more details, go to hoopitup.com/San Francisco. If you think you can beat our team, make sure you're listening tomorrow at high noon, less than 24 hours away. We're giving away 3 free entries for teams, listener teams, to the tournament. If you win, you'll be able to field your squad 3-on-3 and take on the competition. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Also, make sure to download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask the First NorCal Financing at the dealer.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.